Good morning, and please be seated. Merry Christmas, everyone. And welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian Church this morning. My name is Brian Johnson. I'm your duty elder this morning. If you have any questions, please let me know. We do have a few announcements I'd like to bring your attention to this morning. One is please pay attention to the Camp Kintail announcement in your bulletin this morning. We normally sponsor some children for our summer camp there. We'd like if you would pay special attention to that. The poinsettias on the altar steps are available for anyone who would like to bring them home. Also, sadly to say, there is no fellowship this morning after service. That's not quite the reaction I was going for, but I'll take it. Anyway, I'll turn this over to Reverend McCash this morning.
There's just one announcement I wanted to make while Bob runs and gets batteries for my microphone. The Burlington Post had a nice little article. If you got a chance to see that, I got a copy of it given me this morning about our 11th annual Christmas dinner that we do here. Come on up, Bob. Might as well do it now. Thanks very much. And technology is wonderful when it works. It was a nice article that's there. I'm very pleased that we're able to do this. This is, again, as it says, our 11th year of doing this. And we thank you in advance for all the support that you've all provided towards this effort, the Mitten Tree, which we'll be talking about later in our service, and many other efforts, the White Gift Program and that sort of thing. So thank you for doing that. As we begin our service this morning, I'll call on Michelle Stock, to our Sunday school leader, to come up and lead us in our call to worship as printed in your bulletin insert.
People of love, God desires people who are not afraid to risk everything and respond to the invitation of God's kingdom. God longs for people to overcome prejudice and fear. God wants bold and loving companions on the way. God yearns for people who find creative ways to invite others into loving community. Let's pray together.
Thank you, Michelle. Join together now in our first hymn, which is Hope is a Star, and we're singing just verse 4 of this particular hymn this morning because it's talking about our focus today of our candle of love. Hope is a Star, verse 4, number 119. Please be seated. This is the time when we come before God with our prayers of adoration and confession, followed by the Lord's Prayer. In the world and in this season, there are many things that lay claim on our life. It seems we take this time in particular, however, to calm our minds, calm our hearts, remember the love that God has for us,
and to remember that in our baptism, Christ lovingly has claimed us as his own. We acknowledge before God and one another that there have been times that we have not followed Jesus Christ with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength. And folks, that's what sin is. It's a small word, but it encompasses all of those things. It's not an issue of doing good or bad. It's about following Christ with all our heart and soul and mind. Trusting in God's grace then, knowing that we are forgiven as we come before God, let us bow our heads in prayer. Stir up your power, O God, and come to set us free by the righteousness of your birth in our midst, by the light of your face shining upon us and becoming our brother, our friend, truly our salvation. We thank you for the many blessings that we have in our lives, sometimes hard to find maybe, other times overwhelming. We thank you that you guide us and lead us, and all we need to do is obey. We thank you, Father, for this. But we also come before you asking for your mercy. And as we'll be reading this morning, we will be hearing Mary's song, the Magnificat. And we still seek security, it seems often, in pride or power or possessions. And it's this time of the year that drives us in so many ways to be thinking about those things. And we struggle to put them in perspective. And though we know your story, Lord, we often resist the costs of following you. Pride and power and possessions sometimes just get to be too big and overwhelming, and we succumb. We pass by those considered lowly in this world, and Jesus was born in a lowly place. Jesus came into this world to remind us to never forget the forgotten. There are times, Lord, when we turn away from hungry people, and that doesn't mean just physically, but spiritually as well. They're waiting to be filled by you, and we are the tool, the vehicle in which that can happen, and we deny that sometimes, Lord. So we ask, Lord, that you will forgive us. Help us to work towards that justice that you intend and that love that you bring. Help us, Lord, to be the messengers of peace that you bring into this world. And as we wait for you, turn our apathy into acts of love and service. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. And we join our hearts together in the prayer that Jesus taught us now, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, God is for us and never against us. For that reason, God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Now, this is a Sunday that is clearly a special Sunday. It's the fourth Sunday of Advent, and it's a Sunday when much is happening in our congregation and in our church. And this particular Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Advent, typically is a little bit more casual because this is the time when we involve children, and we'll get to that as we get moving. But I wanted to point out this is another way of giving, and a couple of things of introduction to the Mitten Tree. There's a song that came to mind when I was contemplating this. Some of you might know it. Many of you may not because it's an older one. Donna, you'll know this one. God loves a cheerful giver. Give it all you've got. He loves to hear you laughing when you're in an awkward spot. When the odds add up against you, it's time to stop and sing. Praise God. To praise him is a joyous thing. God loves cheerful giving. And in Corinthians, we're reminded of that. This is the point, as Paul puts it. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And this is a symbol of that cheerful giving. But there's one other thing I wanted to add, especially on this particular Sunday, as we think about the candle of love, that fourth candle. This is not just a nice thing to do. It is a nice thing to do, but it's more than that. And I want to read from 1 John 3. We're at church. I can read Bible stuff to you. Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this, we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before Him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts. He knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from Him whatever we ask, because we obey His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. All who obey His commandments abide in Him, and He abides in them. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit that He has given us. And I've read that to you because it's going to be part of what we're going to be talking about later on today. But it's also this act of love. When it talks about actions, this is not just a nice thing to do, as I said. This is providing help to our community, but it's coming from something deep inside us, that love that God is stirring in our hearts, and we've reflected that. And in the last week, we had the white gifts, and we've got Christmas dinner coming. This is a time when all of these kinds of things are taking place. And we're doing this because of the love of God that lives in our hearts. And I'd like to pray over these now, and I want us to bow our heads. Let's do that. God of great wonders, we join with You in the joy and the love of this season of giving. You gave us a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You give us life and You give us breath. You fill the world with beauty and our hands with bounty and our hearts with a desire to give. So Lord, bless these knitted things, the gloves, the hats, the mittens, the socks, and accept these gifts as an offering in that sense, Lord, to help others, because You've helped us. In other words, the way Scripture puts it, this act of love, this simple act of love, because You first loved us. Bless this, Lord. We have no idea who's going to end up wearing these things, but You know who will be, and it'll be helpful to them. Help them, Lord, know that this was done out of Your love, and bring them into Your kingdom through some simple act like this, Lord. We pray this in faith. A faith that survives time and logic. Bless this, Lord, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We'll join together now in our next hymn, hymn number 114, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Please be seated. Our responsive psalm this morning, found in your psalters, in your pews. It is from Psalm 80 and verses 1 to 7. Now this psalm, as we read it, will seem a little bit out of place at the end of this Advent season, possibly. It's intruding upon the blissful anticipation of Christmas. The psalm sort of slaps us as reading it through with an anguished complaint to God. Remember, I talked about many of the psalms are psalms of complaint and lament. It's a desperate call for divine action. And when we think about it in that perspective, it's a desire to call Christ to come. And this is our final Sunday of waiting and anticipation for Jesus to arrive. And so this psalm is pleading with God to intervene. Please come and be amongst us. It's got lots of ways and words that talk about this. It's got an elevated sense of describing God. It talks about the shining face of God. And we know that from the blessing, may God's face shine upon you. And it makes it seem warm and remember times were better. This is the time when we want Jesus to arrive, and this in a way is a prayer and asking of that. Psalm 80, 1 to 7.
Give ear, O shepherd, excuse me again. Give ear, O shepherd of hosts, you who lead Joseph like a flock. Restore us, O God. O Lord God of hosts. O Lord God of hosts. How long can we be afraid of you? Restore us, O God of hosts.
Thank you, Brian. Our Old Testament reading today is taken from the prophet Micah, and that's Micah 5, beginning at verse 2, and that's page 865 in the Old Testament portion of your pew Bibles. This part is really kind of a poem. It's a messianic poem that combines royal imagery of a strong David-like ruler with a picture of a peaceful shepherd, and the shepherd we just heard about referenced in our psalm. And we've got that shepherd image that surrounds the Christmas story itself. This is a time of anticipation. And again, this shepherd metaphor is throughout Scripture and references itself again in this and how God will treat us, and again, in anticipation of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, coming into our midst. Micah 5, beginning at verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, you are one of the little clans of Judah. From you shall come forth for me one who is to rule Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. And our New Testament taken from the lectionary today is Hebrews chapter 10, it's page 224 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. And this is the central portion of Hebrews, and it consists of a lengthy discussion on the significance of the death of Christ, which culminates in today's reading, what we have in Hebrews. And it's a good thing to remind us that Christmas is the beginning of something that changes the way the rest of the world and time will be. The birth of Christ is a joyous time, but it's a time that reminds us that Easter is literally around the corner, and that's the big story, so to speak. This is a time when we anticipate Christ coming to change the way the world will be forever. Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 5. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "See, God, I have come to do your will, O God. In the scroll of the book it is written of me." When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law. Then he added, "See, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And our gospel reading today is taken from Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 39. And we're actually going to read to 55, because reading to the end of there includes Mary's song, the Magnificat. And this is the encounter of Mary and Elizabeth, and they're witnessing upon each other the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ himself. And it talks about how they're blessing each other. And then Mary is fully embracing the idea that who she is going to be giving birth to, and she praises God and thanks him. And we'll see that, and we'll talk about that later. Luke 1, beginning at verse 39. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what the Lord had spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God and my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Amen. This is the Word of God. Now, before we carry on with the hymn that's listed there, I wanted to do a bit of an introduction. Last year, we did a play that was basically the Christmas play that almost wasn't, if you remember that. And I was talking with several of my colleagues from the Presby Mob. For those of you who don't know who that is, there's four Presbyterian churches here in Burlington, and the ministers, so we all call ourselves the Presby Mob, which was the ministers of Burlington. And I like the mob idea because, you know, we kind of mob together and do our stuff. So this Presby Mob, that's us. And I said that we had done this play last year with Reverend Bob Sim up at St. Paul's. And I said, "Boy, I don't know what we're going to do this year, because, you know, the boys and girls, we don't have that many usually, and they're shy, and it's hard to get them to do things." And I told them what we did last year, and I kind of tricked them into doing a play. And he said, "Well, I've got this one that we could do, and it's called The Pickup Nativity." I have to ask Bob why he's called it that exactly, but I think it's because everybody's picking up a part. And you've all got slips of paper with you, or most of you do. If you don't, you can share with your neighbor. So what I wanted to do is, last year, I kind of spent some time describing to the children what it would be like to be in a play that almost didn't happen. And I wanted to remind you of something from Proverbs, because again, I'm reading a lot from the Bible today. This is church after all. Proverbs 22 verse 6 tells us to teach your children in the right way, and when old, they will not stray. That's a promise that God gives us. Sometimes hard to realize maybe and see, but it's there. And so today, your job, your loving job as Christian followers, is to help the children put together a little bit of a play. Now, they're not ready for this because they don't know this is happening. So they may or may not be helping me out, but I know one special person is going to be helping me out. That's Madeline. Hi, Madeline. And Michelle. And they're going to be doing some reading. But you have a part to play. That's what the slips of paper are for. So whenever you hear the word that's printed on your piece of paper while Michelle and Madeline are reading, like, for instance, angels, the angels are going to say, ah, let's hear all the angels that have papers. Now, you see, if I was a shepherd in the field, and I heard that, I'm going back to my sheep. Let's show our angel wings and say, one more time, angels. Oh, that's better. That's good. Now, the next one we have is baby. And Bob had in his notes here that babies are going to say, "Wah," but the hymn says, the carol says, "No crying he makes." So we've changed, Bob and I changed that to coo, coo. So you can be a baby. So when you hear the word baby, you're all you babies out there, let's hear it. Coo, coo. Do it twice. Do it again. Baby. Coo, coo. Now remember, we're trying to encourage our children to get into this. Mary, we just heard Mary say glory to God. So Mary can put her hand up and say, glory to God. Mary? Very good. Sheep. When you hear that word sheep, I don't want to just hear ba. I want to see sheep ears. Ba. All right, so here we go. Sheep. Ba. Very good, sheep. Now Herod, he gets to rub his hands together. And Herod says, mwahaha. So let's do that. Herod, mwah. There we go. Very good. And Joseph, we don't want to leave Joseph out. So Joseph's going to wave. And when Joseph hears his name, he's going to say, that's me. So Joseph. Very good. Shepherds, you're going to wave back to the angels, basically. So when you hear the shepherds, you're all going to say hello and wave. Shepherds.
Hello.
Very good. Let's try. Oh, that was good. Do that again. Shepherds.
Hello.
Good. Now the wise men are out there, and you get to stroke your beards. If you don't have one, you can pretend anyway. And you're going to say, interesting. So wise men, let me hear you. Interesting. Yes, very good. We're going to try one more time, everybody. Ready? Angels? I only saw one set of angel wings. Let's do it again. Angels? Much better. Baby? I only heard you say it once. Come on, let's, you know. Baby? Very good. Mary? Thank you. Sheep? Oh, good. The sheep are really into this. Herod? Herod's just a little too enthusiastic. Joseph? Okay. Shepherds? Wise men. All right. Now we all know our parts. We're going to set the mood and we're going to sing one verse from O Little Town of Bethlehem. You can go up. You can go up, Michelle or Madeline. last-minute instructions out. Now I need Emperor Augustus. Come here, Emperor. Yep, you're going to be the Emperor Augustus. And I'm going to put the Emperor in an Emperor's chair. There you go. Okay. All right. Narrator one, away you go.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all
I'm
the
I'm
going
to get you to start that again, okay? Nice and slow. Okay, good.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the Roman world should be registered. Everybody went to their hometown to be registered.
Wait. Now, I need a Joseph and Mary. Sit here. Who's going to be, you want to be Mary? Okay, you can come on up, Mary. Hey, you going to be Joseph? Come up, sit in the chair. Come on up and sit in the chair. Sit beside Mary. You look the part. Look good, you know, do the part. All right, Michelle, away you go.
Okay. So Joseph.
Wait Joseph. A minute. You guys got to get on the ball. This has got to roll. The clock's ticking. You wanted us to run over time today? All right. Try it again there, Michelle.
So Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem, the city of David, because he belongs to the house and family of David. Now Joseph went to be registered with Mary because they were engaged and expecting a baby.
While they were there, the time came for Mary.
Glory to God. Wake up!
To deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She laid him in a manger because there was no room for Joseph.
Madeline.
Or Mary.
Madeline, read that part about Joseph again. Because she laid him in a manger. Read it from there, because he didn't do that very well.
While they were there, the time came for Mary to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She laid him in a manger because there was no room for Joseph. Or Mary, or their new baby.
Oh, we're going to sing. It up, so we're going to sing the next one, which is Away in a Manger. Because they've got the manger out already, they can't do that. Shepherds in a minute, so I need a shepherd. Jonah, you want to be a shepherd? Well, you could be a shepherd right there. Yeah, okay, because you know the shepherd's part. Okay? Yeah, you'll be a shepherd right there. I know they're all hiding on me, so that's fine. Narrator 2.
And there were shepherds out in the fields nearby, keeping watch of their sheep by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Oh, you're right on the top of that. I like that.
And suddenly there were more angels. In fact, there was a multitude of angels.
Okay, everybody's an angel for that one. Read that again. There was how many? There was a...
In fact, there was a multitude of angels.
There we go. Very good.
And all of these angels were praising God together. They were saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace and goodwill to all."
Into heaven. And the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So the shepherds and their sheep went quickly and found Mary.
Mary, wake up. I know it's been a tough night.
And Joseph. And the baby Jesus lying in the manger.
After seeing him, they shared what they had been told about this baby.
Baby's asleep too, I think.
Everyone was amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds and their sheep returned home, glorifying and praising God because what they had heard and seen was just like they had been told.
That's okay. You can go. Just go stand beside Herod there for a minute, because you're going to talk to him. Okay? All right. We got a wise guy, wise man. Sorry.
Who came from the east. The wise men met with King Herod and asked, "Where's the child who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star and we have come to worship him."
When King Herod heard that the baby would be a king, he did not like that one bit. So he came up with a plan. He met with the wise men and said to them,
"Go to Bethlehem and find the child and come back and tell me where he is so that I may also go and worship him."
But his real plan was to kill him. So the wise men left Herod. They set out and followed the star until it stopped over the place where the child was, and they were overwhelmed with joy.
Child with Mary.
Oh, I've got to do this again. You're losing interest, folks. Come on. Maybe it's your delivery. No, it's not her fault at all. It's yours. Okay, try that again, narrator two.
When they entered the house, the wise men
better
saw the child with Mary. They knelt down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And because they had been warned in a dream not to return to King Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
It's going to be crowded, but you'll do it.
All these things happened long ago, but each year at Christmas time, we remember what happened in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. We remember that Jesus is the most important part of God's big story. And we remember that we are all a part of God's big story too. That is definitely something worth sharing with other people.
Up here very much. Sit down now. And thank you, our narrators. You did a very good job this morning. And thank you, everybody, for participating so willfully or so in that. I want to close this off, this fun time that we've had, and doing this a little bit different on this Sunday. that we're remembering the candle of love. And let me move up here. We're remembering the candle of love today, and this love that God has given to us. And it was important that we also read from Mary in the Magnificat. Christmas is a time of year when we see a slew of movies and TV shows and music and all sorts of things, and they have one theme, of course, it's Christmas. Everything from It's a Wonderful Life to a Charlie Brown Christmas to Elf to the Grinch Who Stole Christmas, all kinds of stories. And all kinds of music, some controversial these days, some not. Each December, there's a list of shows and movies and music that many people simply need to see and listen to feel that it's really Christmas. But while these all may be great stories, they're not the story that we heard this morning. And we did it in a fun way, again, hoping to encourage our children and teach them in the ways that are exciting, and the story is a wonderful and exciting time. Because in the midst of all the more modern Christmas stories, we have this original story, the one that in that real way gave birth to all of the others, the story that, again, we've just told and we sang about. On this, the fourth Sunday of Advent, we have the story of a key player in the birth of Jesus, someone who had to be on board with everything that was about to happen. We read about her this morning. Someone whose love would change everything, Mary. And that's why today, in one sense, we think about this fourth candle, the candle of love. It's the love that Mary had, the love that Elizabeth had, the love that Joseph had. Most every year at this time, we read from the lectionary this section called the Magnificat. And it's that passage of Scripture that tells us how Mary responded to the unexpected and confusing news that she was going to have a baby. I want to read that song of praise one more time. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, according to the promise He made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Magnify is an odd term in this context, but it's easy to think of it maybe more like this. To magnify God is to live your life in a way that makes God's love for the world even bigger and even more obvious to the people who surround us. That's what the season's about in that sense. Showing the love of God in any way we can. We did that today having some fun. We did that with sharing mittens. We've done it over the last 3 or 4 weeks in different real ways. And in a real way to choose to magnify God, especially in times when we're asked to respond to a new challenge or a new reality that we may face in our lives, it has a lot to how we live with love. And if anyone could understand what it means to respond to God in the midst of the unexpected, it certainly was Mary. She's faced with the end of life as she knew it, and she responds by saying she's going to rejoice and make God's love known to the world. Mary's situation was a little more dire than most of ours, maybe, and she was the first person who was asked to respond to that Christmas story, but she wasn't the last. Because though we are called to participate in the Christmas story, as you all did today, we're called in many different ways than Mary was. We are invited to the story nonetheless. And that's because at Christmas time, if we're going to be part of this Christmas story, we are called to make a hard choice to love. I don't use that phrase, hard choice, lightly. I use it because loving this world and loving one another requires something from each and every one of us. It requires us to give of ourselves. And most of all, love requires us, God's love requires us, to be willing to be changed for his sake always. I want to read one more time that scripture I read from when I was here at the Mitten Tree. Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and in action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our heart condemns us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. Amen. Thank you again, everybody, for participating, and all you boys and girls, too, and shepherds that stayed in their seats. God does not desire us to bring burnt offerings, as we read in Hebrews, or sin offerings, but instead he asks that we do God's will. So now we bring our offerings of our lives and our labors, and in prayer that God's will may be done through them. Sit in the next row back. I don't want the computer to get touched. Okay. Go back in this row. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love that you show us daily. Sometimes it's hard to find. Other times it's overwhelming. But Lord, we thank you for this love. And we thank you that this giving is an act of love, your love, shown through all the people here. Bless this offering to your use, Lord. Bless it to bring about that newness that's needed here at Christmas, where Christ is arriving to change the world. Use this, Lord, in that way. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Flowers in the sanctuary have been placed here in loving memory of husband, father, grandfather Paul Willem by Sharon Willem, as well as brother and sister-in-law Richard and Betty Jack for Mary Hidesforth and Lorna Jack. We thank you for doing that. They're there, the roses, and thank you so much. It's an update. I know many of you have been asking about our daughter, Donna, and our daughter, and She got through things fine last weekend as I asked. She'd been asking for prayers, and the prayers were answered in that she got through everything fine. She did have to rush back up to the hospital at one point, I think on Wednesday, and as it turned out, she was okay, but she hadn't been taking her pain meds, and she takes after her dad. And so they said, we gave them to you for a reason. Please take them. So she's feeling much better. So thank you again for your support and your prayers. Ann Bone is in, as I said, in hospital and clearly is going to be there for a while. She's been moved into the north wing of the hospital, which is a rehab unit. It doesn't mean she's actively engaged in any rehab yet because she still can't walk on the one leg. But once that gets mended up, they can get working on that. And she is determined she's going to get better and get out of bed, and that's, she's got a good spirit in that respect despite her situation. But I spoke with Arna Studeby this morning. We do want to remember Tom especially this morning as he's failing. And Arna said that he went in with one thing and now he's got three. And so he's got pneumonia has definitely been confirmed to set it in on him, and his liver and kidneys are starting to fail. So it was hard to be with him in one sense because it's Tom and we love him so dearly. So we want to remember him and his whole family. His family's up visiting and doing the best they can. So we remember all of these folks in prayer this morning. Let's bow our heads. Holy God, you reveal yourself to us in so many ways, and particularly, especially through your Son Jesus. And we gather as a community of prayer this morning. There's much need in our own community and the community that we live in and the world we live in. And today, Lord, we do want to thank you for prayers that have been offered and answered for Natalie, our daughter. We thank you that Anne is mending, and we continue to pray for her. The hard work's ahead for Anne, and we pray you will continue to give her the strength and focus that she needs. And Lord, we do pray for Tom, a longtime friend and member here. We pray for Arna and for their kids and grandkids. Pray that, Lord, you can give them the peace and strength they need at this particular time. And we're praying for your will, Lord, in so many ways. Miracles happen these days. We know. We see them all the time. And Lord, everybody in this room at this time, especially as we're thinking about family and friends and congregation members, everybody here has people in their lives in need. And as we've been doing faithfully and you've been responding faithfully, Lord, we take a moment now for people to offer names silently or out loud at this time. Lord, this is a hard time, especially this time of year when we are faced with difficult situations in family and in friends. But we are a church, and that means your people. That's what church is, the gathering of your people. And so, Lord, as your church, we cry in unison, let it be, Lord. Let it be as we trust in your word with all of these names that have been said out loud and silently, all of the needs in our lives. And we pray this confidently, as we read about in 1 John, confidence before God. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for those names and prayers. We'll join together now in our final hymn, number 371. And we're just going to sing the first verse of this one because it's talking about love, and I want us to stay focused on that particularly. So verse 1, love divine, all loves excelling. Verse 1. As we move out over the next few days, especially tomorrow with Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and all the bustle and hustle that goes on, keep these words in your mind. Be a people of love, and let love live in your heart, and share that love, the love of Christ, with everyone you meet. Share love by loving those who you see regularly. Start loving your community. Share love by loving those who you don't know. How do your actions affect the rest of God's creation? Share love by praying for our world and our community, our friends and family. In this Advent season, we really need to see and feel and share the love of Jesus Christ. And as we go out into the wonder of God's creations, we will share that love, that joy, that peace, and that hope with all who we meet. And now may the God of justice be your path, the Lord of mercy be your guide, and the Spirit of love be your light, this day and forevermore. Amen.